Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
To the air. Dell will dance, dive, and score! What a play, Tank Dell! Touchdown pass, Stroud! 6-yard bullet, and Dell with the lunge! An incredible response by the Houston Texans to that Bengal touchdown moments ago. First and goal, Stroud, he's got six! He's in for the touchdown! First and ten, little high, oh, it's picked off! Intercepted on the play by Houston Carson. Springs back up, then brought down on the play by Folsom. First and goal, Boyd caught and ran for 64. Oh, down goes Burrow. Rankins putting up one of the best performances of his terrific career. Underneath they go again, getting close, breaking free. Brown breaking free. Brown to the 20, bulldozing down there. Off the practice squad for the lead, and it is good. It is good.
Well, it's finally here. I've been waiting all week just to kick this thing off. I've been rocking away at the edge of my seat. Now I'm ready to roll. Here they come to mix things up. Bet your boots better tough enough. Let's get ready to root for our team. All you Texans, get up and scream. It's football time in Houston. Man, we're ready to play. We've got no time to lose now. It's red, white, and blue today. Welcome to the greatest city of all. Houston, the Texans. Are you ready for some football?
Want to keep going? There's more.
It can rain, it can pour, it can snow, I don't care.
Not with a roof.
I'm here till the end.
That's true now.
The spirit of victory flowing round in the
I feel
end.
That spirit. Let it waft in.
Win. I'm so excited that we're all
oh,
here.
Man.
I love the sound of those hometown cheers.
Why do you have to make that sound sexual?
Men, women, girls, and boys.
It's more than that now in 2023.
Make some noise. It's football time in
Houston. All right. We played enough. We probably run everybody off. Oh, what a happy day it is to be a Houston Texans fan because they took down the Cincinnati Bengals 30-27.
The greatest city of all. Texas.
Are you ready for some football?
I mean, the lyrics continue, and there's like a part in this song where it's just a rap. Courage, pride. Independence. Tradition. Strength.
These are just words.
The Texans are about to march.
All right. But look, we're all happy. We're happy talking about this team again. It's ready to play. Sean's playing too much. Stop. I'm actually crying now. Hey, guys, it's a great time to be a Texans fan. I think that 3-point victory was really a blowout. And I know they won it on a last-second field goal, but there were so many opportunities that this young team had to make it a bloody game. And they let Cincinnati get back into it. I'm not going to bring the negative vibes to the show. I'm not going to get mad. We're not in the spot yet where we can be cake-eating elitist football fans, but we're on the track to get there someday thanks to a performance like this. I have a challenge for you, and I don't think anyone's going to be able to meet the challenge here. Who is more of an MVP candidate? An MMV? What the hell am I talking about, Paul? Who is more of an MVP candidate than Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud right now? Because I think he's got the strongest argument of everybody. Let's lay it out. Leads the NFL in passing yards with 2,626. He is third in yards per attempt. Tua Tagovailoa and Brock Purdy are the only two quarterbacks ahead of him. He is tied for fifth in passing touchdowns, which maybe could be held against him. But with two interceptions, that is the fewest interceptions among quarterbacks who have started the whole year. And given that D'Amico Ryans has already won more games than Lovie Smith and David Culley combined as Texans head coach, if I'm not mistaken, five, right? With that in mind...
No, I think they both won three.
Right? Oh, damn. So that's why Adam Spillane deleted that tweet. Okay. Well, damn.
He's fourth all time in coaching wins.
I'm just destroying this hot piping take that I had here.
Sorry.
I'm just killing it. No, I'm killing it. This is my own fault. Okay. Can't speak English.
Do you want some more Clay Walker?
Well, I kind of do, but I don't know. I think we used a little bit too much Clay Walker in this segment. But statistically, he's doing well. He is, since this team has moved on from Deshaun Watson, he has brought them back to a place of relevance, prominence. They've won two games in a row in dramatic fashion, one of them against a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And I just don't think there's another quarterback who has a stronger argument than him. No one is running away with the award right now. I would guess that the front runner on a bye week is Jalen Hurts. Hurts would have won MVP last season if he didn't suffer a shoulder injury down the stretch. His Eagles are 8-1. You can definitely make a strong argument for the supporting cast that he has in Philadelphia. You could also say, oh, a rookie MVP versus Jalen Hurts. Maybe it's Hurts' time. You see in the NBA, sometimes the MVP award just goes to somebody new because people are sick of the same person winning the award. We saw that this past season with Joel Embiid winning it instead of Nikola Jokic. And then Jokic, of course, goes on to win his first ever NBA title with the Nuggets. But the only other person that I feel like you could maybe try to force into this conversation would be Patrick Mahomes. His last two games, Mahomes, haven't blown people away. A sub-50 QBR, if you care about that, in those last two games. And then the other person, because of the statistics that he has put up, I guess you could make an argument for Tua Tagovailoa. But he doesn't have a signature win. Stroud has a signature win against the Bengals. Tua lost to Buffalo, lost to Philly, lost to Kansas City, and he didn't play well in any of those games. So who is a legitimate challenge to CJ Stroud's MVP candidacy as we wrap up week 10 of the NFL season? Right now, we're just talking right now. I don't think there is anybody that you could make a strong argument that's clearly above CJ Stroud. He has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And if we're living in the present, what quarterbacks are you taking over him? For me, it's Mahomes and it's Burrow. I'd still take Burrow over Stroud, even after yesterday.
What?
I would still take Burrow over
Stroud. Head-to-head loss?
If it's one game.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Bengals are even in that game.
Yes.
Like, you mentioned some of it was the Texans leaving some plays on the field. But when you have when Joe Burrow is the quarterback, they will take up every, like, morsel of an inch that you give them.
Yes.
And that's how they got back in this game. A lesser quarterback, the Bengals don't go back and tie it up. Like, they just don't do that.
I have no idea, Sean, who Joe Burrow was throwing to. And you can make the same argument for some of the guys CJ Stroud is throwing to. But who is Trenton Irwin? What is Drew Sample?
Oh, those guys are gritty.
Tanner Hudson? He had like six catches to open the game. Who's that? So Burrow makes the supporting cast around him a lot better. But Stroud's doing the same thing. Stroud's clearly a top 15 quarterback. I think he's clearly a top 10 quarterback right now. And I will hear arguments for him being a top 5 quarterback. And yep, it's recency bias. And we're talking about the last 2 weeks. That's the reason that we're elevating him to this MVP conversation and top 5 quarterback conversation. But that should be on the front page of ESPN. Not the jackass who won a $5 million parlay. Adam Schefter tweeting out, CJ Stroud, legitimate MVP consideration. That is the headline. The headline is not,
Hey.
Rando wins money gambling, which is immoral per Mattress Mac.
Yes.
And illegal.
Also,
but not at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
Yeah, it's also a little bit, like, we only hear about the parlays that win a lot of money. We don't hear about all the ones that always lose money, which is why this casinos offer them. We only hear about, hey, this guy bet the Texans to win and Devin Singletary to score a touchdown and won $50,000.
Well, Sean, guess what? You go buy a lottery ticket after the show, you might win it. I might win it too. Gambling.
Well, we probably won't both win it.
We could win
some of it.
$2,
yeah.
So that we can buy another ticket someday.
That's how they hook you.
Mm-hmm. Although they don't even give you that. The lottery, you play that lottery. You play Powerball or Mega Millions. Again, you get one number correct. Like, oh, today's my lucky day. Oh, man, I'm smart. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text him. King of all Twitches. I like that he's keeping us grounded on the Twitch. Texans lost a big lead, but hey, CJ is MVP. Keeping us grounded. Listen. It's 2023. It's all about the individual awards. What's the point of teamwork? What's the point of doing something for the greater good? What's the point of sacrifice? It's all about me, me, me. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How do we get the city of Houston the proper sports respect it deserves? Do we need to hold a sit-in or a protest? Let's discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being your tram donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Quiet today. Pitch out. First to go. Singletary is in. A rushing touchdown for Devin Singletary. 6-yard touchdown run. It's his first as a Texan.
Big day for Devin Singletary. 30 carries, 150 yards, and a touchdown. And all you aggressive people out there wanted the Texans to abandon running the football altogether. Shame on you. Big day for Nick Caserio, by the way, yesterday. Devin Singletary, big game. Noah Brown, the last two games, he has 13 catches for 325 yards. 6 for 172 yesterday. I did not think he would ever outdo what he did last week against the Bucs, where he had that big touchdown reception that gave him most of his yards. But in a game where Nico Collins was out, Brown really stepped up. And another free agent acquisition, Sheldon Rankins, 3 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, 4 quarterback hits. You want to beat a quarterback like Joe Burrow, who I believe is closer to Tom Brady in terms of his overall style of play, but significantly more mobile than anybody else in the NFL right now? Got to pressure him up the middle. Rankins had himself a day. So Nick Caserio moves this offseason, looking pretty good yesterday. But what do we have to do to get the city of Houston a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Find out what it means to me. It means a lot. It means a lot to all of us. We all want to be proud of the teams that we watch, but we want everybody else to acknowledge that we have a right to be proud of the teams that we watch. We do have a comment. Someone's saying, this is why C.J. Stroud isn't an MVP. Look at the obvious. He is playing in a last-place division schedule from the previous year results. Sure. But recency bias is a thing. He just had a dramatic comeback against the Buccaneers 8 days ago. And Sunday, he outperformed Joe Burrow in a game that should have been in primetime. It's a shame that it wasn't Sunday Night Football. If it was Sunday Night Football, heaven help you. If you turn on ESPN, you turn on any of the Speak for Your Pizza shows, there would have been at least one, much like we did in the last segment, CJ Stroud for MVP conversation. 100%. It's definitely Rookie of the Year. How would he lose Rookie of the Year, I think, is the big question now.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Off the field scandals?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson style?
Just stop playing.
That?
Just.
Also even, Deshaun Watson
even
style?
Even though, like, if he just stopped playing, like this week, he probably would still have enough to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, yeah, what rookie quarterback's going to outdo him?
Will Levis.
What rookie wide receiver would potentially outdo him?
Zay Flowers, maybe?
Yeah.
But you can tell by the way I said it that I don't believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't think of another rookie wide receiver this year who has taken the world by storm. I guess Jordan Addison with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Addison's been better than
the Vikings than have been Flowers. Playing very well. The Vikings won again somehow with Josh Dobbs. I don't know what the hell's going on up in Minnesota. But I think
they played the Saints.
They played the last place.
Fraud ass.
Oh, wait. Hang on. They came in first last year. Vikings are going to win the division again. They are. The NFC North blows. It's terrible. There's no,
the Lions.
Yeah.
The Lions are going to. Lions are going to win that.
They're still the Lions. I don't know.
They're up by three games.
Watch out. Josh Dobbs, maybe. He's a rocket scientist, don't you know?
Pastronaut.
Hashtag Skull. Some comments here, because it is a good day to be a Houston sports fan. How do we get a little more respect? How do the Rockets get some respect? National respect. They just beat the Nuggets, and they're talking about Nikola Jokic's triple-double.
Well, to be fair, Fred VanVleet also talked about his triple-double after the game.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. They were asking Fred VanVleet about Alperen Şengün trying to defend Nikola Jokic. And I mean, what are you supposed to effing do? And Şengün's defense has been better this year. But VanVleet bringing up Jokic's stat line is pretty funny.
We asked him to do a lot defensively. He held him to 36, 21-11, which is, you know, he slowed him down. He made him work for it. No, but seriously, he did a pretty good job. We didn't send him much help.
That was a funny line.
You could tell that he was, like, loading up to it, too. He was like, he held him, too, and he just started smiling. It is a funny thing, because watching the game, you were like, Alperen Şengün's hanging in there. Like, he's doing an all right job. And then they flash us the Jokic's stats. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. He's still really good.
Yeah, it is a little bit like the LeBron stopping that Kawhi Leonard and Andre Iguodala did that won them finals MVPs. And you look at LeBron's numbers and you're like, he was not stopped in any way. But that is what Fred VanVleet said. Like, you have to make him work for it. And they did enough.
They won a game where Jokic had those numbers.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
That too.
That should be a headline on ESPN. Rockets win despite Jokic's triple-double. Instead, it's Jokic's triple-double and loss.
That is the worst part. Is that
they won
no
six
despite,
in a row.
Despite the loss.
A couple of comments here. Attacks. Watching the Rockets and Rafael Stone's success has you and Joel at home flipping over couches. I mean, Rafael Stone's the one who did not move on from Steven Silas. Now he brings in Emu Udoka. Credit to him. More credit, I think, to the people upstairs who signed off on that, because I think that Rafael has a little bit more less say. But hey, he did sign Fred VanVleet. He did sign Dylan Brooks. So yeah,
And
Jeff Green, who had a great game last night. Thank you, Sean. Look, I'll give someone credit when things are going in their favor. And right now for Stone, yeah, they're going in his favor.
Tip of the hat to Rafael.
Tip of the hat. And it's not a sarcastic one. This is a real tip of the hat. Another text. Hey, Paul, I think it's time you end your one-sided beef with a couple of Houston Rockets Twitter fan accounts, Bias Houston and Brad Doe. Let's all come together as Rockets fans. No, I'm not going to do it their way. Because now, all of a sudden, they're saying, like, everyone doubted us this offseason. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah, you can't come and join us now. No, you can, actually.
Very much open for business.
100%. I live in the now. I live in the now. I had some very real skepticism, and I think it still remains to be seen how Jalen Green will be. This was a down night. He is up and down very often.
Yes.
If you're looking at Jalen Green as like a foundational piece, he's got to be a little bit more consistent than he's been. But, I mean, they've won six games in a row.
And for like the last three games, he basically hasn't missed a shot, and so he went, 2-for-13 or 1-for-12 or something. It's like, yeah, he wasn't going to keep making those shots, but you do hope that's like, hey, can we have some, like, it's not so boom or bust?
Yeah, exactly. My big thing with the online Rockets fans is that everything is the greatest ever to them. To the point that it diminishes the greatest ever. And I got to say, when it comes to Bias Houston, he still likes James Harden, which is, I think, honestly, an indictment on his personal character. Like, I feel like he should never be allowed to take out a loan because of that.
It's a scarlet letter.
Yeah, I mean...
I do think that it's officially, guys, and the Rockets play the Clippers, I want to say Friday? I think their next game is against the Clippers. It's a cup night, so it's either tomorrow or
the cup
Friday.
Of life. This is the one. Let's go.
I think it's officially, and we'll probably talk about it more when we're closer to the game. I think it's officially time for Rockets fans to just move on from the Harden stuff. Like, not move on, but just like every little thing that Harden does is not relevant to this team anymore.
You're right. I agree.
He's been on three teams since then.
Like, but we do have to play that monologue tomorrow because it was great.
What monologue?
The guy by the Dallas Mavericks broadcast. Yeah.
Again, but I'll be honest. I only watched the first like 45 seconds, and I saw there's still 2.5 minutes left.
It was
like
a long one.
I'm like, you know what? I'm good because I don't care about James Harden anymore. He's not been on the team. The team is now good, and he isn't on the team anymore.
You know what?
He's barely even good.
You're right. We're not playing that tomorrow. You know why as well? So someone posted that on the sports chat that I'm on, and I was like, I've been saying that since 2017, like the exact same thing every single night. Yeah, but he said it. It was on TV. I'm better looking than him.
Random Mavs TV guy.
I'm better looking than him. One of the people in this chat said, this reminds me of an older you, Paul. That made me mad. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
He's not me. I'm more handsome. What? Why are you laughing?
Who would you say does remind you of an older you?
No
or
one?
Like, think you?
Because I'm one
really?
In a million. I'm one in a billion. I'm a unicorn.
All right.
That's okay. What they say.
Good answer.
So what everyone says, unicorn radio host.
Yes, they do say that.
Not everyone can handle the most interactive
unicorn,
sports talk show in
rainbows,
Houston.
Flowers.
What does that mean?
No, that's just...
I'm just Metro. It's fine.
Yeah.
I got my Texan starter jacket today. I'm looking fashionable. That guy couldn't pull that off.
You're looking fabulous.
I look fabulous. I do. What? Was there some sort of intimation you were making there? What's going on? HR? HR?
No.
HR? They can hear me down the hall. I'm loud, I'm told. Everyone says I'm loud. They can hear me down the hall.
You are the most fashionable cowboy I know.
Thank you.
The spirit of the cowboy.
I got bootcut jeans that actually fit my boots now. So now it doesn't look like I've tucked in my jean pants into my boots anymore.
Good job.
Thanks. You got a denim jacket now too, huh? I'm Listen, we're going hard on the cowboy life. It's because of Pendleton Whiskey. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call and to text. And man, is this why they pay me the big bucks? Because I'm just naturally transitioning into talking about my favorite drink, Pendleton Whiskey. Made with the finest northern grains. Cut with Mount Hood Glacier Water. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. Yeah. Make sure that your jeans don't, you know, make sure they go all the way down to, you know, the heel of your cowboy boots. But also make sure that you are making yourself some of the amazing cocktails that you can make with Pendleton Whiskey. How about this? How about the original cowboy, which combines whiskey sours and whiskey sodas for a sweet, sour, and fizzy drink. Ooh, warm, sweet, spicy flavor. Here's what you do. 1.5 ounces of Pendleton's Original. That's my favorite stuff. It's smooth. It's refreshing. 0.75 ounces of fresh lemon juice. 0.5 ounces of simple syrup. Soda water, cherry, lemon wheel, and boom. You've got the original cowboy. You might be thinking to yourself, Paul, that doesn't sound very manly. Doesn't matter. Because with Pendleton Whiskey, you get to unlock your inner cowboy. There is a cowboy in all of us. Pendleton Whiskey, true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long.
I've got a Chase Long in my dressing room and a pack of warm beer that we can consume.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's first and goal. Fake to Singletary. To the air. Dell will dance, dive, and score! What a play, Tank Dell! Touchdown pass, Stroud! 6-yard bullet, and Dell with the lunge. Good looking drive by the Texans.
Hell yeah. Our beloved Coug, Tank Dell, scored a touchdown, survived assault on the field, and guess what? His University of Houston Cougars on Saturday, they're going to play the final game of the home season. And this is where we salute our seniors. Join us for a night of thrilling plays, unforgettable moments, and a celebration of our dedicated athletes. Don't miss out on the excitement with tickets starting at just $15. UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS right now to get your tickets. Come early, be loud, wear red, or you can get it from us for free. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Caller number three, guess what? You're going to see the University of Houston Cougars taking on Mike Gundy's Oklahoma State Cowboys. I'm a man. I'm 40. We just had a horrible letdown. That's one of the worst letdowns I can remember in a really long time. Holy crap.
They lost by like 38 to UCF.
To Central Florida. And they just beat Oklahoma the week before. Not that surprising that they lost. Losing like that? Woo! Not good. Not good at all. May the odds ever be in your favor to go to that last game at home of the season for the Houston Cougars. Sean and I were talking about this during the break. It was interesting seeing the way that some Houston Texans fans responded to a couple of plays that I felt, if you're a man, sorry to, I don't know, be toxically masculine here, but if you're a man and you like football, you shouldn't be hoping for roughing the passer calls or defenseless receiver calls. Oh, I just want my favorite players protected. Come on. There's so many rules that benefit the offense as it is. So that one throw, I think on the right hash, a bad ball by CJ Stroud, where Tank Dell looked like he got broken in half. People were acting like that was the most egregious and horrible thing ever. I'm sorry, I'm team defense. You've heard Spencer Tillman say it before. All district safety. You know what I was really good at? Picking off passes? No. Recovering fumbles? Actually, yeah, I was really good at recovering fumbles. I was good at spearing people. It's illegal. You shouldn't do that. I did it with my face mask. That way I could get away with it. But I'm very team defense when it comes to all of these calls that we see that are making it so easy for offensive players. 5-yard contact, pass interference. Ridiculous. Now all of a sudden too, Will Anderson rushing Joe Burrow, putting his hands up, his hands come down on his helmet. That's roughing the passer. He's wearing a helmet. How is that roughing the passer? He's wearing a helmet. What are we doing here? So all those people, listen, we love our beloved Cougs, and Tank Dell is fast becoming a made man here in Houston as a Cougar turned Texan. But that was not assault. That was not a jailable offense.
No, that was hashtag real football.
Real football.
Yeah. That got a little, I will say, gave me a little bit of flashbacks. The Twitter response to not just, I think it's like once that play happened, the fumble from CJ Stroud, then like the roughing the passer, and then I think Burrow got a roughing the passer. It was like, I could just see it slowly snowball. There, I think there's a late hit too.
Oh, Ben DuBose was ready for the ref talk.
I was like, is this 2018 Rockets basketball Twitter? That's what it felt like, where it's like, the Bengals have constantly done dirty plays trying to take out these guys. And it's like, I don't think that's what's happening.
This is a city that has, to be honest, maybe one of the worst anti-referee complexes, like referee derangement syndrome, of any American sports city. And it's almost all because of the Houston Rockets. It's when Bill Worrell was on the call, legend that he was, when he was calling games for the Rockets, constant complaining about the referees, which Matt Bullard would enable. It's a little bit better now. Daryl Morey has the report after the Rockets lose to the Golden State Warriors. Ben DeBose, who I love, who has a war against every single referee or umpire alive on Twitter, if you are one of those Twitter folks. Like, this city hates refs. And sure, there were some questionable calls on Sunday, but don't be, oh, why aren't the refs helping us out, guy? And that Tank Dell play, some of you guys were basically trying to commit fraud. Like, you were the kind of people that would show up to court wearing a neck brace so you can get $5,000.
It was and you'd keep
wearing the neck brace after that court appearance because you're nervous that a private investigator might be, you know, that's hired by the big insurance company might be, you know, stalking you.
Yeah, we're not saying that you should love refs, but
it's
not all a grand conspiracy. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like
back to blue.
They make mistakes. It's not a grand conspiracy. It is like sometimes they make wrong calls, and sometimes the wrong calls benefit you, and sometimes the wrong calls do not benefit you.
Yeah,
that's just all it is.
That's life. You know, it's not
unless
fair.
It's the Astros. Then they are actively screwing you with some of those strike zones. Write a letter to MLB.
I back the blue. I think the wonky strike zones make it fun. It makes it fun.
Live it up, because I think they're going away pretty soon.
No, I think you got to keep it in. You got to have people having a reason to get animated and emotional during regular season baseball game, and this is all that's left.
I love the screenshots of, like, the ESPN GameCast where they go, like, ball three. They're like, pitch number three was called a ball, but pitch number five was called a strike. Make it make sense. And I'm like, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to tell the difference.
It's hard for these umpires. What, you think you could do better? We back the blue, okay?
That'd be a great thing if Ben DeBose got, like, referee training and, like, became an NBA ref.
It needs to happen.
Or at least a skit.
I would film him doing it.
Where he's like a YMCA ref.
We could team up on this. We could team up on this, and we could make some great content. Content creator.
Just calling traveling all the time.
I kind of want to do it now. I want to be a ref of a game. Like, hey, 713-780-3776. Any refs out there? Can I ref a game for you? I'm just going to do a horrible job. I'm probably going to get killed by one of the parents in the parking lot because that's how these things escalate. Can I call a very low-level children's game? Just let me do it. Just let me do it for fun, for a bit. Who cares about the kids that are playing? It's not about them. It's about me.
It's about
content creation.
Every kid that loses a game gets told it's not about winning and losing. So why does it matter if the ref sucks?
That's a great point.
It doesn't matter. It's not about winning and losing.
It's just about showing up.
Having fun.
That's so true.
And what's more fun than Paul Gallant, the ref show that is Paul Gallant?
Oh, that would be great. I would be the most elaborate. I'd throw people out for giving me a look. Eye contact. I felt threatened.
No, what you have to do is you have to throw out a spectator. That's that immediately elevates you to like all-time level ref. If you're like tossing people that are on the bench or tossing coaches for not saying, like assistant coaches are catching it.
And I got to throw out the wrong person too, because that will add to the chaos.
Yeah. So
is this guy getting thrown out? Well, he laughed at what that heckler said. We can't have the heckler.
You know
leaving.
What? You're out.
Out of here. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. You can join on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. You have any final thoughts on a Texans win that, even though it was a three-point final score, was a blowout victory of the Cincinnati Bengals? Have at it. Give me an argument as to why C.J. Stroud isn't the front runner for MVP in the NFL as well. I bet you can't. We'll talk about what happened at Joe Spada's introductory press conference with the Houston Astros. He is their new manager. Hell, you'll even hear a little Ross Bjork talking about the Texas A&M fighting Aggies, having the balls to fire Jimbo Fisher. Not feeding children, instead feeding Jimbo Fisher's wallet. so that he can have a really nice couple of years off. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
You're the only one left of the Wayne family. This is where you belong. Welcome home.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To take a lead with 5 seconds to go. Off the practice squad for the lead, and it is good! It is good! Amendola from 38 yards! And the final is in, and the Texans have won it.
That's probably going to be the biggest win of the season for the Houston Texans, unless they can go higher than the ceiling. What is that ceiling? Is it 10 wins? Is it a division title? Is it one plus playoff wins? Is it a Super Bowl? I think it's win the division. I think that's the ceiling. I'm having a hard time seeing them win a playoff game, though, beating a team like the Bengals on the road, like a playoff victory. That's a team that has been to a Super Bowl. That's a team with a quarterback who is an MVP candidate. That is a quarterback that C.J. Stroud outperformed on Sunday, which is why I will entertain serious arguments as to Stroud being, one, a top five quarterback, and two, an MVP candidate. There is no quarterback right now because of Stroud's statistics. And because of now a marquee win like that, there is no quarterback that I think has a stronger argument in Week 10 for MVP than Stroud. Mahomes is coming off of 2 bad games in a row. Tua Tagovailoa, all his statistics. When has he done it against a team that matters? Jalen Hurts, he's on a really good team. They're 8-1. He didn't win it last year. You're giving it to him because he didn't win it last year, probably more so than you're giving it to him for this season, where there have been some shaky moments from him. So I think right now, as crazy as it is to say, Stroud's the front runner for MVP. And on top of that, yes, it was a 3-point victory, but the Texans blew out the Bengals yesterday. No matter what that final game-winning field goal might make you believe, they left 17 to 29 points on the board in that game. And we're cool with it because they're young, they're babies, they're growing up. But next year, when that happens, we're going to be mad about a victory like this, and it's going to be great.
But you still don't see them winning at least one playoff game?
I think they win the division.
They have a top five quarterback. And they're going to host a playoff game.
I think they win the division. I can't go for a playoff victory.
I don't know.
I can't go. Well, the thing is,
look at the teams in the AFC. Who's going to walk into NRG with a better quarterback than CJ Stroud?
It doesn't matter who the other quarterback is, because the Texans defense will make that other quarterback look like one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
You know who's one of the best quarterbacks in the game?
Joe Burrow.
CJ Stroud.
Also CJ Stroud. They're going to make Kyler Murray look good. They're probably going to make Russell Wilson look good. Joe Burrow had 3 plays in yesterday's game that were 160 yards. And the Texas defense played really good.
I saw people get mad at the chase one, and I'm like, I don't know, guys. That
was a hell of a play.
That is Joe Burrow making a play and Ja'Marr Chase making a play.
It is. You're right. But they allow that against Baker Mayfield.
No, I want to see Adam
Thielen.
I want to see Bryce Young and Adam Thielen make that play.
Well,
that play gets batted at the line.
Against the Texans, they would have made it. That's the one defense that they would have been able to do it again. Texter says Stroud isn't an MVP candidate. Clown emojis. Yeah, but you're not giving me an actual argument as to why he's not. This person continues saying he played good, not great. He had 3 turnovers yesterday. Well, the 3 turnovers thing is true. One of them, I'm a little bit dubious about. The interception on the 3rd and 2. Okay, we're an hour and 50 minutes into the show. I ranted about this on my podcast yesterday. In a 30-second stretch, I swore 8 times. I can't believe he threw that. And I can't believe they called that. That was a dumb effing call, Bobby Slowick.
That might be the first time we're CJ Stroud, you're like, oh my God, he is 100% a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that was the dumbest throw he's made this year.
Yeah.
And it was a dumb play call. The Texans got too cute. don't play with your food. You know,
I did, airplane.
I'm holding a fork, like I'm shoving it towards Sean. Like, you know what happens when the fork's in front of you? Let the airplane land, Sean. Let the airplane land.
I'm not doing that. I'm not playing along.
Well, guess what? Don't play with your food, and okay. We won't have to do that.
Well, you know, CJ Stroud played with his food, and it ended up working out. I will say though, it was very funny that everyone tweeted out like, "The Texans just beat the Bengals," and then he threw the interception, and everyone's like, "Wait." They might not.
I said blouses, which is generally the game is over as soon as I say blouses, bro.
And I thought it was
right away that happens, and I'm like, oh.
I didn't think that they were going to lose, but I was like, well, everyone's saying the game is over. They still need to get like two first downs.
I had a bunch of Seattle listeners in my mentions, Sean, right after that happened, saying like, oh, this would be so funny if it blows up in your face. And all I said in response was like, Geno Smith. That's all I had. You have Geno Smith.
That's Scott Service. I don't know. I didn't want the Texans to lose, but I would have laughed if after the Texas Rangers funeral and then game blouses to the Bengals, it would just been a funny.
Don't do that to me.
It just would have been funny. That's just would have been funny.
For you.
Yeah. And for you too.
No,
I wouldn't. No, you can laugh at yourself. You're a good sport.
Yeah, but that's on the air. What about the other 22 hours of the day? You'd be curled up around a bottle of sake. By the way, Tokyo Vice, great show on HBO Max. I hope there's a second season. There might be a little canceling going on. Great show. Great show. 8 episodes, HBO Max. All right, guys, time for a little garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
If you missed any of the show, you can check it out on podcast form, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Look up Paul Gallant Show. Joe Espada was introduced as manager of the Houston Astros today. Some comments, and we'll react to more of this tomorrow. Dana Brown, GM of the Astros, while introducing Espada, quote, "This is probably one of the biggest hires of my career. I appreciate Jim Crane allowing me to lead the charge." They made a big point of it just being Dana Brown and Joe Espada up there, and I think that Jim Crane is trying to show people that he is not as involved as many would believe he is. I remain skeptical about it, and I also remain skeptical about the Dana Brown era of Astros baseball. Not to say that I don't think he's good at his job. We honestly don't really have much to go off of when it comes to moves that Dana Brown has made. I just think he talks too much, and him talking often makes him look a little bit worse.
I kind of like it, though.
It's fun.
If you can either have Dana Brown or Nick Caserio just as like a PR, like a in front of a microphone personality, I'd rather have Dana Brown.
Oh, well, no doubt about that.
Yeah. It's like, well, who cares? He might say some stuff that, and then what? He's going to say some stuff that he regrets, but then we can go back and say, remember when you said
yes,
Kyle Tucker's going to die in Houston?
That's true.
He didn't say die in Houston.
But he implied it.
He said, I think he said never leave.
I will say about Nick Caserio, I guess he was on Peter Schrager's podcast, and he was doing like life advice podcasting things. You know, if you go on your Instagram reels, you're going to see at least one person who's like trying to give you a motivational speech, who's speaking, looking like he's doing an interview, but honestly, he might just be setting it up to make it look like someone's asking him for advice. Whatever, no one cares. One last thing. Here is Ross Bjork, athletic director of the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies, on his Aggies canning old Jimbo Fisher.
I determined at this point, and for lots of reasons, our program is stuck in neutral. We should be relevant on the national scene. Something is not clicking. Something is not working, and therefore, something had to give in order for Aggie football to reach our full potential.
We're in neutral. We want to be going, what, 75, 80 miles per hour?
And
we're
80. It's College Station. You can really let the pedal down.
I mean, go big. What is Georgia speeding? 120?
Yeah.
Georgia, best program in college football?
taking the Georgia model and taking it to College Station. Speed more.
Mm-hmm. What would Dom Toretto do? Family.
Hit the Nas. Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher never was truly a part of the Aggie family.
It's time for Texas A&M to hit the Nas. We live our life a quarter mile at a time here at Texas A&M.
Just imagining Jimbo Fisher finding out this news, looking at the Ross Bjork press conference and screaming, Monica!
Like Ja Rule? Yeah.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher? Is Jimbo Fisher about to be the Ja Rule of Texas A&M football?
In more ways than one.
He might be, because, yes. Listen, Texas A&M, they're of course going to find their ludicrous right now. They're going to find their ludicrous. Have faith. What a fun show today. How about those Texans? How about those Rockets? How about those Dynamo? How about those Astros? Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Connor and Beard are up next. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday, as I just said. Have yourself a wonderful Monday. Make it wonderful. Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights in fish.
We got weights in fish.
There we go. Oh, yeah!